section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting one show at a time.
Lots of contract issues in TNA, a new champ is crowned, and what's going on with the Night of Champions buy rate? All this and much, much more in this week's Off the Mark.
This is TNA Impact referee Brian Hebner, and you're listening to Off the Mark.
86 Productions.
Episode of Off the Mark. We are the podcast that provides the most in-depth insights and analysis into the world of professional wrestling. I am Andrew. He is Aaron. Let's get right into the news. Ken Anderson's contract has ended. So Aaron, is he going to be staying with TNA, or is he going to see greener pastures with the WWE?
Well, it depends on which one you think is actually greener, but they are currently in negotiations right now. He actually may sign an extension to have a storyline going with him and Bully after Bound for Glory. I think nobody believes that Bully will leave Bound for Glory as the champion, and so that there's the possibility there that we'll see Ken Anderson taking on Bully Ray, which actually help elevate his character and put him back into the main event spotlight, which is where I think he needs to be. But that, of course, is a wait and see type thing.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if he does sign just a small extension, like kind of like what Styles did. But he said, I've heard him say this a couple of times, a lot of times it's about the money. And as much as you don't want to sit there and bash people for saying it, but if he can go do the indie scene, wrestle twice, over the weekend, opposed to now what they're doing is about 3 to 4 for TNA, he would actually make more money by doing that. And plus, he doesn't have to listen to a boss every week. He just has some guy who books him. They pay for the flight. He gets $2,000 or $3,000 for wrestling, that one show. And the next show, he does the same thing. You can make a lot of money real fast by doing that. The other person also is that Mickie James is also negotiating with her contract. She, because of what happened on Impact this week, you would think that she's done, but I believe that she'll come back again for an extension, because I think a lot of wrestlers, because their contracts are up around this time, I wouldn't be surprised if they just wait to see, what's going to happen with TNA.
I don't think that's the case. I think that Mickie James had a contract there. It ended at a certain time, and because she came in around the time that Ken Anderson did. So that's why their contracts are up at similar times. They signed 2-3 year long deals. And so, it's done right now. I think that Mickie James, she's currently working on her music career, and she also may go back to WWE. You never know. I think that's kind of the nice thing for them, is that they have that ability to go to a different promotion, albeit a one that has a little more prestige and a more global brand. The only difference is that TNA, you don't have to wrestle nearly as much. With WWE, you're talking 6 days a week pretty much with them. So I actually think both these people, I think Ken Anderson's story isn't done yet, but I think Mickey's is, and I think Mickey actually should go back to WWE.
And it's okay for her to leave, because it's already there's no loose ends, which is really nice. The weird part, the one that I'm not sure what's going to happen, is that Hogan's contract, they're stating it could be up around October 1st. It could be a day before or a day after that. I wouldn't be surprised if he is not re-signed, because I don't believe that he really brought much to TNA. He was just kind of there, and he would only come out, for 5 minutes tops. So I wouldn't be surprised if his contract is done. But here's the thing. I don't know if he has a performer contract and then he has an office contract. I don't know about that.
I don't know much about his contract situation, because I've read that it's actually Spike TV that is got his contract, and that TNA is actually not eating that money. And so if that's the case, I do believe that it would be smart for them to re-sign him, because he is a big name. And I know that people might be surprised by this, but when we went to the event, when we were in Orlando, when you went to the event in Peoria, people chant Hogan, and you see it constantly. People go crazy for him because he was such a huge star in the 80s and 90s. And so people, he's the most recognizable wrestler on the planet today, bar none. All right. Plain and simple. But at the same time, what has he actually brought to TNA outside of just that little area? Has he helped build any stars? Not really. You know, has he made TNA a little more prestigious? Has he brought more fans into TNA? I don't think so. I don't believe that that's the case. However, though, I think him leaving, if he leaves graciously, could be helpful. I also think that he probably could have done a better job in helping to build the younger stars and putting them over and just talking about how much better these people are and how these are the performers you're seeing in their prime now. And I don't believe that that was something that he would actually brought to the table.
And I want to point something out. I just heard an interview with Chris Jericho that where he's talking about how he, when he comes back, he's a full-time wrestler. He's not, but his full-time job is Fozzy. He said something interesting about the difference between Hogan and some of the other guys, and also him. He said that Terry Funk, when he came in to WCW at one point, he was sitting there talking to Chris, nothing big. He goes, who do you think I could put over? That's what Terry Funk was asking. He's like, who should I put over? Who do you think would actually need, who'd benefit them beating me? And Chris said the same thing. And he said, well, also when he wrestled Fandango, he was talking about that as well. Not once have you heard Hogan say, I want to help put this guy over, his entire career. Even Ultimate Warrior, same thing. Goldberg. I mean, in a way, he didn't want to do
well, that. That's getting back, though, into his history more than right now.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry. Yeah, I guess I should point that out. You would think that Hogan would, like, if Bully Ray beat if they wrestled and Hogan won, I would actually, my thinking of Hogan would change dramatically. If it was Hogan versus Bully and he put Bully over, that's a different story. That actually helps someone out. And that's kind of how I look at the whole thing with Hogan. I wish that he would do what Terry Funk, Chris Jericho, guys like that actually want to make the business last a lot longer. Also, one thing to point out is that TNA may have a permanent home soon. And they were discussing a couple locations. One was, of course, Las Vegas, which the way it looks, that's not even going to happen because they could barely sell tickets in Vegas. Also, they're talking about even going back to Nashville and also to Orlando. The problem is, I don't think they can go back to Orlando now because, well, actually, if they did, the smart thing would actually go back to Universal Studios and do that again, because if the WWE Physical Hall of Fame is going to be opening up, they could start advertising and say, hey, you know, have signs right outside the WWE thing. Want to see Kurt Angle? Want to see that? Then they can go to Universal and they get in for free. That would be the smart thing. But the thing is, I don't think they have any space at Universal because the Impact Zone is no longer that. It's used for something else now. So I'm kind of interested to see what they're going to do with this. Maybe at that time they might get SoCal Val her job back, whatever she used to do there.
Yeah, I don't know. I actually think that, you know, this is something that we should actually put some time away for and talk about a little bit more.
Yeah, we'll talk about later.
Topic. So, but Andy, the Night of Champions buy rates may actually be a little bit lower than expected. And it's not because people didn't buy it, but because there's been reports online, and some of these have been confirmed now, that cable companies have been refunding purchases of the pay-per-view. And the reason behind it is because the finish to the main event was overturned at the next at Raw the following night. Now, before we get into actually what happened at Night of Champions, what do you think about them refunding money for the event?
I think that's ridiculous. You paid for a pay-per-view. Whatever happens, happens. You deal with it. There's no reason why you should get a refund. That really gets me going. Because let's say I got the Mayweather, whoever the guy, the Mexican guy that he was wrestling. And I wanted the redhead guy to win and he didn't. Or like, let's say Mayweather beat him up and then like Mayweather flunked his drug test. Should I call and say, well, because they overturned it, and I won, or we'll say that, and I'm a Mayweather fan, it turns out that Mayweather is going to get a loss out of this, I want my money back. Do you think they're going to do that?
Of course not.
So that's why I don't understand why they're doing this. But, you know, who knows? Who knows? So let's move on to WWE program for this week. So the tag teams are getting a lot of love. We had, of course, the opening of, if you watched on, I think they did it on Yahoo, of course, the app,
YouTube,
and also on YouTube. I was getting to it. So they actually had this everywhere, which I thought was pretty cool. But they got a lot of love. They had the tag team turmoil. It had the Usos. Who else was in there? Tons of Funk, you know, but they got a lot of love, and I was pretty happy about that. What were your thoughts on it?
So the tag team division right now is actually getting love, which is really important. As you mentioned, you know, there are four big teams there right now, possibility of bringing in some other ones. And for a tag team division, you need to have teams, and you need to have teams that actually go together. And I think that's really important. I don't mind having, you know, some that are thrown together. Team Hell No, for example, Rhodes Scholars, where they're clearly single stars, but they, you know, happen to have a tag background, or they happen to be tag team right now. And so I actually like the fact that they are giving them love, because that's something that TNA was doing so well for so long. Now they're not doing well. And now WWE apparently is, you know, taking up the slack. But Andy, the other thing that happened, you know, at Night of Champions and continued on Raw was that Punk lost to Paul Heyman in an interesting way, because Ryback came out and attacked Punk to save Heyman.
Yeah, I didn't like this, because Ryback was doing his own storyline. Why did he have to get thrown into this? I would have been happier if you brought someone up from NXT, because there's three guys and two girls that are ready now. And they haven't brought him up yet. You could have had one guy say he's a Paul Heyman guy from NXT. Bring him up. Bam. There he is. He's a made wrestler. Ryback's already made guy. It's just that no one cares about him. In the long run, it probably will be the safe bet. It would be the better thing that they did the right thing here. But I was kind of disappointed, because I really thought that they're going to bring someone from NXT up. But oh well. But the other thing also that is interesting is that the day of, they changed to a no DQ match. Which I thought was weird, but.
And I do want to point something else out too. Not too long ago, Paul Heyman paid the Shield to attack Ryback. Not long ago, Paul Heyman paid Brad Maddox to, you know, low blow him, so that way Punk could win. So I don't know. I mean, it's one of those. It's kind of like the Ironclad contract. Apparently, some writers at WWE were like, "Oh no." People won't remember that, and some won't, you know, but I do. Yes. Now, Andy, all of the titles were successfully defended at Night of Champions.
The nice part about that is that they actually had the IC title wasn't getting defended, and neither was the US title, and they were defended, but they didn't announce it until the day of the show, until like that moment.
Well, I think the U.S. title they had announced before, but the IC title was obviously, you know, the day of type thinking. And I listened to the show last week where you and Doug were talking about it. And absolutely, it was. And I thought that from the start, it's Night of Champions. First of all, as we talked about before, every pay-per-view, you should probably defend the titles, you know, because it's pay-per-view. But to not, you know, get into that too much, the one title that actually was not defended successfully was the WWE title.
Bryan Danielson, a.k.a. Daniel Bryan, son, is the new WWE champion. And he won with a running knee. And the first thing that came to mind when they were trying to the finish of this, they were discussing for a while, because they were talking at one point having a different ref do the count, because he did the 1-2-3. And then they're also talking about having him not count at all to let Randy Orton win. But they went with this one because it saves face. It kind of makes Triple H look okay, but it also makes him, when he turns even more of a heel, it's going to help him out in the long run. When I watched it and he counted 1-2-3, and you hear the crowd go 1-2, and then he goes 3, that's it. And then you hear them yell 3. Randy Orton's still down, so technically he would have stayed down for the 3 count anyways. So what's the point?
But that doesn't matter. I mean, the point is that it was a fast count. And so, of course, the next night on Raw, Triple H strips Daniel Bryan of the title. So Daniel Bryan is now a two-time WWE champion, having held the title for one full day.
That's messed up. Seriously, that actually hurts the title. It makes the title in a way look kind of weak. But, you know, that's just how they do it, I guess.
Here's what I would have done. Let Daniel Bryan win, or let Randy Orton win with the fast count. And then, of course, Daniel Bryan can cry, you know, bloody murder. Have Randy Orton get disqualified, so Daniel Bryan wins, you know, and then next at Battleground, they have a no disqualification match, you know, do something like that. I felt that this was, I actually felt with Daniel Bryan winning the title, I felt that it wasn't as big of a deal because it was – when he won the title against John Cena, it was a holy crap. He actually did it. Mm-hmm. You know, he beat Cena. That this was like Punk being Cena. It was a big deal. And then Orton steals it from him, steals that moment. It's like, oh, I can't wait for this to happen again. But then he wins the title back right away, and I was a little disappointed. I kind of felt that the air wasn't in the room anymore for to even be taken out of, you know? It wasn't as big of a deal for me. I feel that this is a missed opportunity for them, and they're going to be feuding now for the next 2 months. So what's going to happen? Randy Orton's going to win the title back, so now he's going to be a 14-time World Heavyweight Champion.
Here's what's going to happen, Aaron. I can tell you exactly what they're going to do because they listen to our show, so they're going to listen to me. What they're going to do is that at Battleground, it's going to be an Iron Man match. And guess what? It's going to be a tie. No one wins the title. Then at Hell in the Cell, it's going to be decided in the cell. And then there's going to be the champion. And I will say then, I'll say it right now, Randy Orton will win at Hell in the Cell. He will walk out as your champion.
So he's going to be a 14, 15, 16-time champion, basically.
Basically, because when he walks out as the champion, then Daniel Bryan is going to – then they're going to do something where Daniel Bryan can't go for the title anymore. So then what he's going to do is he's going to win Royal Rumble, and then WrestleMania, it's going to be Orton versus Daniel Bryan with John Cena as a special guest referee.
That's a big fat no. But okay.
They listen to our show.
The other thing, though, as we talked about earlier, he's held the title twice for one day. And that makes the title look really bad. And it also makes the fact that he's held the title that many times for that few days. What's going to happen when he wins it a third time? He's going to hold it for a month, and then it's going to be like, yeah, he's held the title three times for 30 days, an average of 10 days, right? Like, I don't know. It's dumb. But anyway, Andy, on Raw, a lot of other stuff happened, but I think the biggest thing was that Daniel Bryan, at the very end, he gets attacked by the corporation, and then WWE superstars come out to help him out.
Oh, yeah.
What'd you think of that?
Dude, I thought that was really cool because they all came out, and there are some guys that aren't doing anything. Zack Ryder was one of them that came out, and I thought it was really cool because they backed them. They're like, we will, you know, kick your guys' butt. We're behind Daniel Bryan. And I did like the fact that at the end, they picked him up over their shoulder, which I thought was really cool. Plus, when Daniel Bryan went out there, they were, you know, like when he went out there, I think with the belt, it was after that, everyone was cheering him in the back, which I thought was really cool. So, you know, kudos for WWE actually putting, you know, writers for doing something really cool because that hasn't been done in such a long time. And I was happy to see it. You felt it. You actually felt it.
Yeah. And on SmackDown, of course, some of the people got, punished, so to speak. And obviously on Raw this next week there, I'm sure that we'll see more punishments thrown around. So, but Andy, let's thank our sponsor.
HostGator, are you a blogger, a podcaster, or you're just not happy with your web host? You need to check out HostGator.com. You're going to find web hosting made easy and affordable. HostGator offers unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click script installs with a free site builder, and hands down the best control panel out there. Stop by today and try a free demo to see how easy it is. And make sure you use special coupon code OFFTHEMARK and you're going to save 25% off your web hosting packages. So what do you got to lose? Check out HostGator.com and take a bite of your web hosting costs. Also, check out Section 86 Off The Mark page and you'll see a banner for WWEShop.com. Just click on that banner and before you click on it, read what the coupon code is. Click on it, use that coupon code and you'll save a bunch of money on your merch. And don't use the one that they put on Raw recently. Don't use that one. The one that on our site is a lot, lot better. So let's move on to Impact Wrestling this week. So Jeff Hardy is taking on Manic or Suicide. Wait, no, Manic or gosh.
Suicide.
Okay, Suicide Manic. What's his name?
TJ Perkins.
TJ Perkins. It doesn't matter. He's taking on that guy. So he takes on to him and what are they going to do with him? Nah.
So are they trying to breathe some more life into the X Division? Like have Jeff Hardy kind of, you know, be an X Division star?
I don't think that he needs to be there. They need to have the alternative show, and I think putting him in the main event somewhere, upper mid card, that's where he needs to be. And him wrestling Manic, I mean, maybe that'll help the X Division out at some point. But right now, I thought it was kind of a weird thing that they had him wrestle. But oh well. Also, I want to talk about. Did you notice that the tweet that came out, the picture, the leaked picture about their production? supposedly, actually, it's not supposedly, it did happen, but they were running the NFL Network, that game.
Oh, I saw that. Yeah, and they were watching the Jets-Patriots game.
Right, and see, what happened was, the reason why I bring it up is because Brian Alvarez in the Figure Four Weekly, he actually stated that they contacted Dave Meltzer, and they were making it seem like Dave's his boss, saying that's not true, that was Photoshopped and everything. But the picture, I've seen it. You can't Photoshop that. Plus, when it was sent, they took the picture and then sent it to him, put it on their form. So you can't do that, you know, like take a picture while a match is going on and then edit it during that time frame. It's impossible. I just thought it was interesting because they were yelling at him, saying that basically trying to get his job. And he was like, it's accurate. There's no lies here. So I just thought that was an interesting note.
Either way, but Andy, the other big thing that was going on with Impact was that AJ came out and he said, you know, he said last week, I'm going to have some words for you, Dixie. And he did. He had some words for her and basically talked about how, you know, he talked about it a few weeks back, how he is the kind of the he is TNA, and how Dixie's brought in all of these other superstars and they've come and gone and they were the next big thing or they were the best in the world, whatever it was. But he's been the only one that stayed, and he's been the one that has been their bread and butter, their foundation. So Dixie comes out and kind of cuts a little bit of a heelish promo. Now, I don't want to get into the specifics of the actual promo itself, but I do want to talk about what you think about a heelish Dixie Carter.
It's pointless. There's one thing that I've learned in wrestling is that Vince McMahon, knowing since he owns the company, he was able to do a lot of duties, but he also had people underneath him. We'll just say that he has eight people underneath him, and so he controls everything that happens. Dixie Carter has her and like probably one assistant. You can't.
Well, we don't know that.
I don't know, but like I'm just using that. You don't know what her thought process is. Like, I don't know, I guess that's not the good way to put it. Her, I think she wants the spotlight, but realistically, she needs to stay behind the scenes. And I thought her doing that, I thought was kind of stupid. I mean, really, what I would have done is actually had you hire someone to be the owner of the thing or the president, but not but then have her behind the scenes or something.
But kind of like an on-air, you know, very similar to a general manager,
right,
or a president of, right, the company.
Yeah, that's what I think they should have done. So I don't know why she's doing this. I mean, some people do it to toot their own horn, but, you know, whatever.
I don't think that's the case. I think that there was a storyline that they had in place for this. And I think that they are trying to do maybe an AJ versus Dixie, but not in a Dixie is going to align like with Aces and Eights, or she's going to be a bad guy, but more kind of they're just going to be butting heads a lot. And, she definitely cut a little bit of a heelish promo, but you can still be a little bit of a – you can be a tweener, you know, or you can be like 60% face and be 40% heel. You know, I mean, you can still do that. And I think that might be the route that they're going to go down. I'm interested to see how this will play out, not because it's an interesting storyline, but because I want to see how a heel Dixie works. So that's kind of what I'm interested in.
Probably not very good, but oh well. So TNA needs a home, Aaron. And I've been saying this for a while. They need to
We talked about it in the intro, and I think that there's just a lot for us to talk about with it. And so I think that we, you know, needs to be our weekly topic.
Right. And one thing I wanted to point out, and I said it earlier, like I said, WWE is they're taking over the NBA thing, which failed, which who would have thought that? But they're taking over that for the physical Hall of Fame. They're also going to have a restaurant, and they'll probably have other things there as well, which I think is great because then you can have your pay-per-views there. You can charge everyone to come in. You can charge them, like, we'll say like $50, and then you get unlimited wings and like pop or whatever. So
No.
I'm sorry. You charge
a $5 cover, first of all. But anyway,
we're going the wrong way. What I'm talking about is that what they should do is that while that stuff's going on, have TNA people there as well and start talking about, hey, you know, what do you think about Kurt Angle? Just mingle with the crowd. Be like, you know, like, yeah, I don't know what he's doing. Well, you know that he's wrestling about a mile away from here. It's like a mile walk. We can go right to Universal. That's where they need to be. Not in Orlando, but actually at Universal. If they go there, I will say it right now, and they stay there and they offer an alternative product, not a competitive product, they will actually succeed. I've been dogging TNA for a while, but I truthfully believe if they go back to Universal and with the WWE pro, like the WWE restaurant going up, and they start like not picketing, but basically having signs up saying TNA live or whatever free this way, they will succeed. Because if you get a couple wrestling fans that are like, what's Jeff Hardy been up to? Oh my gosh, he's wrestling tonight? Bam, there you go. They will succeed if they do it that way. I don't know if they'll succeed in Nashville. I am not sure about that. But they were working good in Universal. And I think if they got someplace that's right around there, like within just a walking distance, I believe they will succeed, especially if they put an alternative product out there.
So I agree with you to an extent. I do think that them having a permanent home is a good thing. I actually think that touring was a very smart thing, though, for them. I think that it was a good thing because it got the brand awareness out there, and a lot of people went to go see them that normally may not have, you know, thought about it before. And then they might be like, oh, TNA, that's interesting. I wonder exactly what they are. But I think going to Orlando is probably the best thing. Nashville's not bad because, look, there was a Nashville region for wrestling, and so it makes sense why Nashville is an area.
And to point that out, that's still around.
Yeah, it still is, exactly.
Memphis.
And so to have a major promotion there, absolutely. But I think Orlando's probably the safest bet. That's where they should go. I do think, though, that they should tour, and I think that they should do it pretty often. I think that you should make it Japan style almost, where you say, we tour during this amount of time. So for these 3 months, we tour, plain and simple. So we go to a new place, you know, every couple of weeks. So we go to St. Louis, you know, we go to Chicago, we go to Memphis, you know, we go to these major spots, and we do it every, you know, we do it for July until October or whatever, you know? And I also think that every pay-per-view needs to be at a different locale. I think that they need to go and they need to have it in Las Vegas or in San Diego or wherever else they want to hold it. I think that's very important for them because having the central location is key, but having the touring will help build them as a brand nationwide.
Yeah, you're right. No, they should tour. But I actually disagree with you on that. Like, I do like what you point about with the Japan aspect. That is smart. But right now, what they should do is with them going to the UK tour, they're going to tape enough shows so they don't have to do anything in February, which I think is smart. Give them February off. I'm happy with that. Then all the wrestlers, any nagging injuries, simple ones, like they haven't, like someone has an ankle that's been bothering them for the last 4 months, they can just take a load off and rest. And then within a week, they're fine. With them touring, I would like to see, if they were to tour, I would love to see them do it right around tax season. Like if they're going to tour, have them tour in March, have them do like 3 or 4 shows in March, and then go back to their home and then just wait. When school's out, if you're in Orlando, then you hit in June, you stay there. July, you stay there because you're going to have people coming left and right. And then you go out, like we'll say the first part of August, you hit a couple cities and come back. But if you continue, mm-hmm. if you stay on the road for two, see, this is the problem. When they went to Chicago, and I said, like, it's not going to work unless they went to Chicago, went somewhere else, and then came back for a while, and then redid that. You can do that, and it'll work. You can have a house show here or there. That's great. But have the house shows lead up. Like, if you're, let's say the show's on Thursday, if you're going to have a house show, have it on Friday and Saturday, if you're going to do it that way. And have that toured, and then have them go back to Orlando.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean,
and I think yeah. that's you know, when I was saying touring, I was just throwing out you know, some random times, and I agree with you on that. You know, Orlando is definitely a nice central location. There are so many different people that come in there every single day,
and you have to remember, you know, in June and July, that is the busiest season that they have.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, when we had the opportunity to go down, it was a family vacation to go to Disney World. But nonetheless, you and I had talked about one of the things we would love to do is see TNA while we're there for a couple of reasons. One, it was free for us to go, which is awesome. And number two, you know, we got to report on it then the next week. And that's really neat. I in all honesty, if we had the opportunity and we were able to go there, because we could have gone potentially a couple other times when we were there to go see TNA, I would have absolutely loved to. It would have been kind of, you know, our wives would have been like, really? You're going to go see wrestling on a family vacation? We'd be like, what? You know,
who's going to take care of the babies? You know, like, yeah, that's the other thing.
But here's the thing. You know, let's say we go back there in a couple of years. I would absolutely love to go see TNA again and see them multiple times. I had a lot of fun seeing them live. I love watching wrestling. I love watching wrestling live, and I love watching wrestling with wrestling fans because that makes it fun. And I really hope that TNA, I want them to be around for a long time, and I also want them to help elevate these younger stars. And I hope that Bound for Glory is actually a good payoff. I know that we'll probably do a pre-show for it, or at least it'll be a weekly topic. We'll do something pretty big for Bound for Glory because, you know, it's going to be a pretty big deal this year, and I'm looking forward to it.
Oh, yeah, definitely. The other thing, you know, I just lost my train of thought. I actually had a great idea for TNA. Or speaking about when we saw the TNA live, I wish we'd have gone, instead of going right after my wife's birthday, I wish we'd have gone on your birthday, because then we would have seen the pay-per-view and also the show the following night as well.
I know, and that's what I was kind of alluding to. But anyway, TNA, I think having a permanent home is actually a good thing, but I do hope that they tour every now and then.
Yes, and here's the one thing also. I think they should compete with someone, but I think they should only compete with Ring of Honor, and that's it. And then they can be the top dog against Ring of Honor, and then eventually maybe they can go ahead and try and compete with the WWE. So anyway, so that's all the time we have for this week's show. If you're into the Twitter, you can follow the show at OffTheMark86. I want to thank 86 Productions for hosting and editing the podcast. And I want to thank all of our listeners for taking the time to download and listen to the show. And for Aaron Hughes, I am Andrew Hughes. And until next time, we'll see you in the ring.